Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss of First Confessional Lutheran Parish, First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, and Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston. Today's text is Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 23. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. These are the words of God recorded for us by St. Paul, the Apostle of Christ. Eyes wear out, hearing fails, the back becomes weaker, the bones become more brittle. Cancer, stroke, heart attack, arthritis, diabetes, and countless other crippling or deadly diseases threaten our lives. We Christians confess Jesus. We confess that he is risen from the dead, lives, and reigns to all eternity. And look at the lives we live. We live the lives we live here on earth in dying bodies. We worship the one who by death has destroyed death, and we call him our Lord and our Savior. We pray in his name, by his authority. We trust in him for eternal life. And yet we live day by day in dying bodies that are headed for the grave. They laughed at St. Paul. He was quite a scholar and a very brilliant man, as you can see from reading his epistles. So the men on Mars Hill in Athens thought he was quite a bright fellow. Oh, they listened, and they reasoned with him. But then they started laughing at him. And that's because he talked about the resurrection of the dead. What nonsense, these men thought. Because they knew what they could see and feel and experience. We grow old. We get sick. We die. And then our bodies are buried in the ground. Have you ever seen anybody rise from the dead? Neither have I. Thomas didn't believe in it, and he'd spent 3 years being instructed by Jesus. The resurrection of the dead simply defies all human experience. I recall a couple of decades ago, there was a case in the state of Missouri where a lady died, and her family, a very religious family, prayed and prayed and prayed that God would raise her from the dead. They tried to exercise their religious freedom, but God just wouldn't cooperate. He didn't raise this poor woman from the dead. He left her body dead. Finally, the government had to get involved. After all, there are health issues in keeping a dead body around after a couple of weeks. The resurrection from the dead is not something that people will naturally believe. Oh, they'll believe in a hereafter. But when folks go around inventing religions, the hereafter does not include a resurrection. For example, the religions that teach reincarnation don't teach a resurrection of the body. They teach instead that the spirit goes into another body in a future bodily life, and the body in which we live simply disappears. In fact, they would say that the body is inherently bad, not good, and the religious or spiritual goal is to get rid of the body. Most religions don't teach a resurrection of the body. The Jews and the Muslims and the Christians are the only religions that have historically taught this, but the Sadducees of Jesus' day denied the resurrection. Most Jews of our day don't teach it. The Muslims do, but their idea of the resurrection and heaven is a crude and carnal one in which you get to experience in heaven all of the physical pleasures that were denied to you in this life. And even among Christians, you don't hear so much talk about the resurrection as where you as the entrance into heaven. But people think of heaven rather as the place where the soul goes when the body dies, and say and think little about what we will inherit at the end of the world when the body rises incorruptible. Now, it's perfectly true that when a Christian dies, his soul goes to heaven to be with God. And this is a conscious joy and experiencing the love of God that the Christian soul has to look forward to upon death. There's nothing in the Bible about soul sleep. No, your soul, the Christian soul, enjoys communion with God immediately upon the death of the body. But that's not the end of the story. And when the Bible talks about eternal life, it usually isn't talking about the condition of the soul between the time the body dies and the time the body rises from the dead. But when the Bible talks about everlasting life, it's talking about the life lived in a glorified body after the resurrection on the last day. Young people have a hard time appreciating the resurrection. Maybe that's because they tend to be rather healthy. I remember a story. I don't remember exactly where this took place, somewhere in Europe, when a sophisticated and rather arrogant unbeliever was pointing out to the Christian that those who attended church in their community were mostly old people. Small attendance and just old people there in the pew. And of course, his idea, his point, was that the church is dying, doesn't have any future. In response, the Christian said, "Yes, and 100 years from now, you and I will both be dead in the grave, and there'll still be old people attending that church." The point is that the old have a perspective. And they have a perspective that the young might want to gain. You think that you're living, and you think that the life you're living is the life you will be living. And you project yourself to the future, but you don't know what the future holds. You need to experience certain things to understand them. And the loss of your faculties, the loss of your physical abilities, isn't something you even want to think about. But you ought to think of the future. You ought to consider that your future will not end at the grave. And this is why we ought to take to heart what St. Paul says in the text, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Now, he doesn't say the glory that shall be revealed to us, like we're going to see it, or the glory that will be revealed around us so that we will be in the midst of it. No, he says that the sufferings of the present time aren't worth comparing with the glory that shall be revealed in us, in these dying bodies that are losing the ability to do what we used to be able to do. These bodies with aches and pains and diseases, these bodies with desires to do things that we know are wrong, these bodies that can be so cumbersome and yet we love them so much, these bodies will be glorified. Not only that, the whole world is waiting for it. The earnest, listen to these words again, the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Now, what is he talking about here? He's saying that the human being is the crown of God's creation, and the entire universe has been subjected to the same futility that applies to the human body. Just as the human body isn't going to become healthier, but it's going to lose its health, even as we grow old and we suffer and we die, and despite all of the advances of medical technology, we're not going to be able to prevent it from happening. Just so the creation itself is groaning and waiting for the human being to be redeemed. Now, the human being is the crown of the creation of God. He's not just one species that evolved above the rest and learned how to walk on two feet and use his brain in a way where he can deduce things. No. No, the human being was created in the image of God, and all other of the creation of God was not created in the image of God. The human being is to reveal the glory of God. The very reason that God created the world was for the benefit of his children. And when all of this was tossed away, rejected, denied by sin, and by all the fruit of sin, God continued to love what he had created. He continued to love the man and the woman and their children. And that's why Christ himself became one with his fallen creation by becoming a human being. That's why when Christians look at the world, we look at it as a gift from God. We are distinct from the world, but we have the responsibility to care for it. Our identity is not with the world. Our identity is with God. That is, it is with Christ, who is the very image of God and the firstborn of the dead. And in Christ, we have redemption. Now, redemption means freedom. Here, our text talks about the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We are free, but right now, we have a spiritual freedom, and the bodily freedom doesn't yet exist. It says, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. So today the Christian lives by faith. The Holy Spirit assures us that we are redeemed. The blood of Jesus shed on Calvary has not only brought us the forgiveness of our sins so that we can stand before God with confidence, but it also has freed us spiritually so that we cannot be dominated either by our own sin or by the lies of the devil or by the false promises of the world. But we are set free from lies, and we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, instead guiding us into all truth. But not only are we spiritually liberated from slavery, but our body is too. Even when we can't do what we wish we could do, even when our eyes are going, our ears are going, everything seems to be running down and the body itself appears to be useless, yet this body in which we live is the body that will be glorified in heaven, where there will be no pain, no sickness, no death, no sorrow, and no temptation to sin. That's what the Christian has to look forward to in heaven, and that's why we can say with St. Paul that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. Thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. Please visit us at First Evanger in Fertile, 8 o'clock Sunday morning, Grace in Crookston at 9:30 on Sunday morning, and First American in Mayville at 11:30 on Sunday morning. And tune in next Sunday for the next broadcast of Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast.